Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Get Ready with Betty, the radio show that helps you simplify and improve your life by getting things in order physically, psychologically, and spiritually. I'm Sharon McRill, your host and the owner of the Betty Brigade, an Ann Arbor, Michigan-based company specializing in relocation, organizing, and staging. Our guest today is a member of the Evolutionary Business Council, and we've had many members of the EBC on our show, and her name is Lisa Dodd, and let me tell you a little bit about her because she's really interesting. She walked away from a successful career at a Fortune 100 company to find more meaning, purpose, and fun, and she transformed more than her job. Her decision to invest in what she was meant to be in life rather than settle for what she was doing for a living inspired her to interview individuals who had also turned their day jobs into following their passions. In her first book, Finding Fabulous, Paving the Path Between Paycheck and Passion, Lisa shares what she learned from those interviews and dares us to consider whether or not we're living our own version of fabulous. So today we are going to be talking about helping corporate and professionals navigate career transformation. And I've been through the same transformation. So, and it can be scary. It can be overwhelming. And so I just want to welcome our guest, Lisa Dodd.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you here. We're going to jump right into some questions, if that's okay.
That would be great.
Okay. So tell me about what career transformations have in common with cleaning out your garage or storage unit, because I can tell you some freaking stories about garages and storage units, but career transformations, I've only done that once. So let's tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, I think you probably hit actually on one of the first things is that they can be scary and overwhelming. You know, when you open that garage door and you see all the stuff that's accumulated there, and it seems overwhelming and tempting to just shut the door and say, I'll look at this tomorrow. And I think often, you know, we decide what we want to be when we're probably in high school or university, and how often do we continue to keep asking that question? And then one day, all of a sudden, we look back and we've had 10, 20, 30-year careers, and it's overwhelming to think that we would do anything else or that we could do anything else. And so I think it's the same goes. You want to shut the door on it and say, I'll think about that later. You know, think about what could make me happier. I'll wait till I retire to be happy.
Right. So, but a career transformation, like, you're typically not going to find like a dead mouse or like a bunch of dead flies in the window well, because, you know, that's my life.
Well, maybe that could be a metaphor for some of the things people find in their careers, perhaps. But no, I guess people wouldn't physically find a dead mouse in a career search. But there probably are, I think of three particular steps, initial steps people can take to sort of approach career transformation that I think are very similar to how you approach probably looking at a garage when you're cleaning it out. And I could go through those three steps if you're interested.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one is intention. I think, you know, when you're cleaning out a garage, it's very different if you have the intention that you're cleaning out your garage because the winter's coming and you got to have space for your car. Or if, say, you've decided you want to get fit and you think that the garage would be a perfect home gym if you could just clean out enough space to create a home gym. And so your intention for what you're doing is different, and maybe the path you take to get there is a little bit different as well. And so if you take that same approach to your career, it's why do you want a new career? What is the specific intention? Is it simply because is it financial? You don't make enough money to live the life you want? Or is it something deeper? Is it that you want to be more connected with what you do, or want to be able to express, you know, your creative talents and skills, and your job, you know, prevents you from doing that? And depending on exactly what that intention is, then again, your approach and the pathway that you take to get there is going to be a bit different.
Interesting.
So that's step.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's step.
So what's the next step?
Yeah. So step two is inventory. So again, when you go to a garage, you don't go in and grab everything and just throw it all to the curb, because you may have some real good treasures in there.
And our clients would fire us.
Right. I'm assuming that you probably, you know, find some really neat treasures actually when you dive into some of these garages, right?
We have found some stuff that I can't even talk about on the radio.
Fabulous. So there was an expression we used to use in the corporate world, and it was "don't throw the baby out with the bathwater." And I think about this for career transformation too, because sometimes when we get so unhappy in what we're doing, it seems simple to just go away from it completely. And the people I interviewed for my book, I found more and more often that there was a lot of really good treasures within what they were already doing. It's just either the environment wasn't correct, or perhaps they weren't working with the kind of people they wanted to work with. And so the second step is inventory, because I think it's really important for us to do a full dissection of the different components to our job and look at what we like, what we love about it, and what would be better if we changed it, or what's completely missing. So I have a little exercise that I run people through, which I can definitely put in the show notes for you if people are interested in doing a real thorough deep dive as to what the inventory of their career actually is right now.
Okay. And did we get to step three?
Step three. So first step is intention. Second is do a thorough inventory. And step three is investment. Because if you're going to go through a major career transformation as you have, you know that there's some investment with respect to your time, your energy, and your money. And it's a good idea to have a good consideration of what investment you're going to have to make, right? So again, if you go back to that garage, you know that you've got to, I don't know how long it takes you got your team to go in and clean up and organize everything for people, but there's definitely an investment there. And you have to be willing to do that with your career as well. So it's an idea of what are you willing to put in to do this career transformation, and start to think about what that's going to look like for you. You know, are you willing to do some research and be open to seeing possibilities where you may never have even thought there would be possibilities? And some people aren't. Some people are really like, I can only do this and I have to do it till I retire. So there's a bit of an investment in mindset. There's obviously an investment in time to be able to willing to go looking for that and to spend some time even getting clear on your own goals and aspirations. And sometimes there's a financial investment. Sometimes you may have to be willing to have a period of time where maybe you're making less money, or perhaps you need to be willing to save enough money ahead of time before you make a major career move, so that you have a bit of a buffer to protect you while you get your new venture going.
You know, and that's actually a really good point. So, like, when I left my corporate career, I got a buyout, and I was able to, and I also got unemployment. So I was able to live on the unemployment and use my buyout to start my business. But my buyout wasn't unlimited. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was, you know, a chunk. And so I gave myself 1 year to make my business work. And if it didn't work in 1 year, if I didn't break even, and that was my kind of line in the sand. If I didn't break even and start looking at, okay, am I going to be profitable, then I was going to go find another corporate job. And what's really crazy is at the 11th month, I hired my first employee because I was so busy, I couldn't handle it all.
Wow. Fantastic. And I love that you had a specific dedicated plan for that, because, and giving yourself a good year, because I think there's also putting some realistic timelines to this. So people that are unlike you, that may not be able to have a buyout, for example, because not everybody's lucky enough to go with a buyout, they may have to create a 6-month plan. Or perhaps what they do is they their first 6 months or year is just staying at what they're doing right now and decreasing their cost of living so that they can put away more money to create their own little buyout plan, if you will, because that's possible as well. Don't think about, you know, waiting for your corporation to give you a buyout. Maybe you give yourself permission to create your own.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. But, like, the other thing is that a lot of folks think, oh, business owners have it made. They can do whatever they want, and they can make their own hours. Well, you know what? You work around your clients. You make sure that your clients are taken care of. And so your time is not your own. And I think that that's kind of a myth out there for people who've never owned a business. And so, you know, like, really getting clear on how much money you want to make and putting those goals together and then putting boundaries around them. Like, you know, my company answers the phone from 7:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, 7 days a week. Now, that's crazy, right? But, because that's a lot of phone hours, right? But the thing is, I cover the phones in the morning, and then, like, so I take one weekend a month where my employees cover the phones so that I have some downtime. I get a break. And this weekend is my weekend, so I'm really excited.
Well, and it's great that you can put some, you know, you said the most important thing there is that putting parameters around it. And other people, it's going to be different than what you said. For me, I want all my weekends free, not just one a month, right? So everybody gets to decide what that looks like for them. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's just choosing, to be clear on that. One of the women that I interviewed for my book was a teacher, a school teacher. And often people would say, well, they've got the most ideal working hours out of anybody. And yet one of the main reasons that she left teaching was because she felt she was spending more time with other people's children. So her goal when she was starting her business was that she would do it during the hours of when her kids were at school so that she could be with them when they weren't. And at some point in her business, she had to realize that if she was going to stick to that, she would have to scale her business in a certain way that she could still grow her business and not have to increase her hours. So again, it's possible. It's just being really clear on it and being creative about finding ways to make that happen.
So I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm just going to ask it. So how come there are people out there that like just jump in with both feet and some people just like will stay stuck in the same crummy job and complain about it for the rest of their life? Why is that?
Well, I have a smokescreen answer and I have a real answer. The smokescreen answer is often money. Sometimes it's time, but it's usually money. A lot of people will give me that excuse of I can't afford to do that. But the real answer, and this is why I believe it's the real answer, is that the more and more people I interviewed and asked them, well, how did you get out of this? How did you not stay stuck? And what was your biggest barrier? And the majority of them had the same answer. I just had to get out of my own way. It was often the self. It was self-limiting thoughts on, am I credible enough? Am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? Could I really do this? That holds people back is this idea of not seeing possibilities.
Right. And
so having this
fear
awareness that there are...
Yes. Yeah. Fear is a huge factor, too. I mean, people sometimes are just afraid to change.
Yeah, but if you drill down the fear, I think fear is one of those overarching themes as well, to say, well, I'm afraid. Okay, why are you afraid, though? What are you particularly afraid of? And you can usually drill it down to, I'm afraid that I wouldn't be able to do that. Or, so, you know, someone who's been working for 20 years as a lawyer all of a sudden doesn't want to be a lawyer anymore, and they think, well, what else could I do? I've been trained to be a lawyer. So there's this thought of, you know, am I too old to start over again? You know, would I be able to learn something? Would people want, you know, to hire me for something else? So there's these fears a lot of times are internal on what our capabilities are and what's possible for us.
Okay. So what would most people be surprised to learn about today's job market?
The thing they'd be surprised to learn the most is that you can design really any type of job you want. What never ceases to amaze me is what people make a living doing. There are so many crazy examples out there, and I'm not suggesting anybody do these crazy examples, but I always say it's a Duck Dynasty world, right? Because of that Duck Dynasty reality TV show. You know, here's a man who makes millions of dollars because he created a really popular duck call, you know, and he sells duck hunting paraphernalia. So if someone had said to, you know, before this show was like, you can become a millionaire by duck hunting, you'd say, no, you can't. That's not possible. But it is. And this man's proved that. And there's individuals in, I think it's a friend of mine was saying this, a new popular thing in Korea, where people are getting paid to eat food on the internet. It's like a YouTube channel where it's just someone eating, right? It seems ridiculous, right? So I bring up that ridiculous example on purpose because, again, I'm not suggesting someone create a YouTube channel to eat in front of all day long, but it just goes to show you that there's such a wide spectrum of things that people have actually turned into a living that it just opens up possibilities everywhere for even less ridiculous type of options.
Awesome. Well, listen, I just want to let our listeners know that we are speaking to Lisa Dodd, and Lisa has a book called Finding Fabulous, Paving the Path Between Paycheck and Passion, and you can find that book on Amazon and probably local bookstores. Is that true?
Yes, you can order it from local bookstores, yes.
Local bookstores, okay, but probably the quickest place is Amazon.
Yep.
And her website is Lisa Dodd, that's LisaDadd.com. You can also find her on LinkedIn. And on Facebook, it's / Lisa Dodd Finding Fabulous on Facebook, or you can follow her on Twitter at Lisa Dodd. And we are going to take a really short break, and we will be right back with Lisa Dodd. You are listening to Get Ready with Betty, the radio show that helps clear the confusion and simplify your life. I'm your host, Sharon McCrill, owner of the Betty Brigade, an Ann Arbor, Michigan-based company specializing in relocation, organizing, and event planning. On Get Ready with Betty, we talk with experts in a wide variety of fields who can break down what seems complicated into simple, doable steps. Now, back to our show. So we are back with Lisa Dodd, and we're talking about pursuing your passion. And so one of the things that I think is really amazing about technology is that geography isn't really a limitation anymore for people, because you can work in your living room in your pajamas and be managing stuff in China. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think the internet has been the best resource for opening up the career market today. As I mentioned earlier about some of the crazy ways people are making livings nowadays, it just goes to show you that anyone can create a location-independent business if they're looking for that. Now, you mentioned starting your own business and how it can also be a lot of work and a lot of time. And some people are really afraid of the fact that they leave a job and completely be out on their own. But the other thing that the internet has opened up is the possibility for people to work as a freelancer or as a consultant. And so a lot of large corporations nowadays are taking advantage of the digital age, if you will, and they're actually outsourcing a lot of roles that they used to have in-house. And so all these downsizing of these major companies have actually also opened up opportunities for others. And so perhaps something that someone would have done for a in-house company, they are able to do now online for companies that may live in that may be headquartered in a different state or even a different country than them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I'm near Ann Arbor is near Detroit, and the big three car companies are here. And we have gotten contracts with one of those large car companies, and they used to have all of their relocation stuff internally. And I got a call because I sat on a board with somebody, and they recommended me. And so all of a sudden, my little company was doing a job for one of the biggest companies in the world. And so stuff like that happens too.
Yeah, exactly. And so it really does open up a completely new space for opportunity for people that are looking to make transformation.
So earlier we were talking about, how people say they can't afford to quit their job. What do you say to them when they say that to you?
I say, how much would it take? I want to know if I could write them a check right now for the exact amount it would take for them to quit their job, how much would it be?
And I would say to you, $7 million.
Yeah, a lot of people just say $20 million, $7 million, but really, do they know? Have they done the math? Because as I mentioned earlier, the money is one of the biggest smoke screens, and it's easy to think we can't quit our job because people's thought is that if I quit my job, I don't have the paycheck coming in anymore, and I need that to pay my bills without thinking about the wider picture of it. So looking at not just how much money is coming in, but how much money is going out. Looking at, I go through a bit of an exercise in my book to get people to really differentiate between what they need, what they want, and what is everything else. And it's kind of an interesting exercise because you can actually find a lot of things sometimes in our expenditures that don't really fall under need or want. So, for example, I long ago got rid of my home phone line. And, you know, home phone line here in Canada was about $50 a month. And I thought, I've got a great cell phone that I can make calls on. And half the time when my, more than half the time when my landline rings, it's a telemarketer, you know, bothering me during dinner. So getting rid of that home line, I didn't really get rid of anything I needed or wanted, but I saved myself $50 a month. And so you think about things like that, all of a sudden I have to make $50 less a month now because I made that decision. So I think it's a lot of different ways to look at whether, you know, what that math equation is. Without really, you know, we still need money. Every day we live in a society where we need money, and that's a given. I just think there's a lot of creative solutions to get people to where they want to go.
And I love you bring up the need or the want, because that's exactly what we do with organizing. You know, keep the things you love, the things that you're on the fence about, which are the, oh, I'd like to have that, but I don't really need it. It's not essential. Like, that's the kind of stuff that we say, sell it or donate it or give it to a friend. Like, get it out of your life, because all it's doing is taking up space. And, you know, I say this all the time on the show, but nature abhors a vacuum. When you empty your space, the stuff you want comes in. And
right,
so,
exactly.
So the more you clear your clutter, whether it's in your head or in your house or in your garage or in your mother's garage, it all, the more you do that, the more stuff comes in that you really want.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's why I like to say, if we can also think of it as an investment rather than a cost. You know, so, you know, if you're going to change your career and you have to give something up, if you're thinking about giving something up and I'm doing without it, it feels painful. But if you say, perhaps for the next 6 months, I'm not going to have a Starbucks coffee every single day and, you know, cost me $100 or $150 a month for that, I'm going to invest that money into my future career. And maybe I'll come back to drinking Starbucks every day again. But for right now, it's an investment. You know, so whatever that may be for someone, that's just a small example. But switching that mindset to, what are you willing to invest? If right now you could do without something for a short period of time, for temporary, you know, duration, would that be willing? Would you be willing to do that if that would guarantee you that you would be doing your dream job in 6 months or a year?
And, you know, it's funny. I did this in February. We moved our office, our corporate office, from a big, fancy, nice building that had lots of parking, and it was lovely. We moved it back into my home, and I really struggled with that. I had huge ego problems around it because we're making all this money, right? So it was like, well, we can afford to be out there, but we're also buying another business. And my CFO said, how much do you really want that other business? And I said, I really want it. And she said, then you're moving back into your basement, and you're going to run the business from your basement for the negotiation time, and you're going to bank that money, and you're going to have a nice down payment. And I was like, okay. So
perfect
here we
example.
Are, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is temporary, and it's, you know, and do I love having people in my house every day? Not really. But I mean, to be honest, I like having my privacy too, but the point is that this is a short-term solution to where I really want to go.
Yeah. So you're willing to make the investment, and you will get where you want to go because of that. And that one, you know, that one lack of willingness for individuals, you asked about people that are getting stuck and people that are moving forward. The people that get stuck are the ones that are unwilling to make any changes and adjustments or any compensation. And so that is definitely a trick as well for the success, is to say, be open and willing to negotiate on what it is that you desire, at least for the short term.
Right. So tell me, we're going to talk about your book for a minute. Tell me about your favorite transition story or transformation story. I'm sorry. I guess
sure.
They're the same thing.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites was an auto factory worker who realized that he couldn't work the line at Chrysler for the next 30 years. And he had been raised to actually believe that that was the only job he should really aspire to, because it was a good thing. And you working in an auto town will know that everybody, you know, wants that job with the steady paycheck and the benefits. And he realized 5 years in that he couldn't do it. And so he went and he actually bought a cookie franchise and right in the middle of the depression, the recession, and it didn't do well. And so he used to entertain his customers doing magic shows. And at some point, his magic actually started making more money than his cookie shop. But someone discovered him and said, oh, you'd be great to do a show at the local college. Would you be interested in doing a show? But he had become interested in this idea of entertaining hypnosis, and he wanted to become an entertaining hypnosis. And he told them, yes, but tell them I do hypnosis. And he didn't actually at the time, but he told them that he did, and he was able to get the job. And then he had 3 months to figure out how to actually do it. It's like he just put
Holy
himself
moly.
Out on the line. He's like, right? Like, this is why I love it. Because I'm like, there's that whole idea of law of attraction and act as if. And I think, wow, what a perfect example of someone just saying, I'm going for it. Tell him I'm going to do this. And so he had 3 months to figure it out. And he was afraid to practice on any of his friends or family and to even tell them what he wanted to do. So he didn't. So the day he arrived at the college, he had never hypnotized anybody in his entire life, and he stood up on a stage.
Oh, holy moly.
In front of 250 people, never, not even knowing if what he was about to do would work or not.
That's brave.
Right, and so I love this story because of the bravery, the chutzpah that it took for him to do that. And so he was probably as surprised as the audience when it worked. And because of that one moment when he was brave enough to do that, the rest of his life, as he's gone through, he tells me now that nothing will ever be as scary as that moment. And so he uses that as momentum and motivation, inspiration to try other things that are big, because he's like, it'll never be as tricky as that. So I love that story.
Oh, holy moly. That is an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that. Wow, that's awesome. Like, I consider myself a risk taker, and I would not take that risk. Holy moly.
Well,
wow.
Let me tell you that he now gets paid 5 figures an hour to do his shows.
Well, good for him. I'm glad because
yeah.
– Like, that's, that's stepping out on a thin limb. So,
skinny branches.
So if you are just joining us, we are talking with Lisa Dodd, and her book is Finding Fabulous, Paving the Path Between Paycheck and Passion. And if you want, this is really generous of Lisa, you can email her, and you want to go to her website, lisadadd.com, that's lisadadd.com, and she will send the first 3 people who respond to this a free download of her audiobook. How generous is that? Thank you, Lisa. That's amazing.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's great. So definitely go get that book. And if you want to know more about Lisa, again, you can go to her website, lisadadd, lisadadd.com, or you can go to LinkedIn and search on her name, Lisa Dodd, or on Facebook, you can put in Lisa Dodd Finding Fabulous, all one word, or on Twitter, she's at Lisa Dodd. So, Lisa, thank you again for sharing with our listeners, and I love what you had to say.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're very welcome. So this has been another episode of Get Ready with Betty, the radio show that helps you simplify your life by clearing the confusion. And I want to thank Lisa again today and all the listeners who joined us. And we will be back on December 5th with Dr. Deb Sandella. Oh, you know Deb, don't you, Lisa? And,
I do. She's fabulous.
She's so amazing. I'm so excited she's going to be on the show. And she will be talking about clearing nostalgia so you can clear your clutter. And so we're going to be talking about more organizing your mind. So until next time, keep it simple.